What's poppin'? It's Michael.
Hey, it's Sebastian, and welcome to Get In. Today is Wednesday, so we're doing Getting Entertainment. And in case you don't know, we do Getting Sports every Saturday. For today, we're going to discuss the best castings of all time. We're just doing live action, so motion capture and voice acting will not count today. That'll be an episode for another day. And of course, we're going to talk about episode 2 of Falcon and the Winter Soldier at the end of the episode. We used to do it before, but now we're going to start doing it at the end. That way you guys can enjoy the main content at the beginning. And before we do all that, we're going to get into the movie news of the week. The Mortal Kombat movie has been pushed back from April 16 to April 23rd. They didn't really say why, but speculated that it's because since theaters are reopening, they're leaving more space for the Godzilla vs. Kong movie to gain more box office. Rick and Morty Season 5 has been announced that is going to premiere June 20th. Adult Swim also announced that June 20th will officially be Rick and Morty Day, and across all platforms, social media and stuff, they're going to have behind the scenes and special content for everybody. Also, there's a brand new trailer, so go check it out. The Bad Batch, the Star Wars Disney Plus series, will premiere with a 70-minute episode. And in case you don't know, it premieres May the 4th, and then Friday, May 7th, the second episode comes out, and then every Friday after. This announcement was made with a brand new trailer as well. Go check that out. It has been reported that some Pixar employees feel demoralized after Lucas and Soul got moved to Disney Plus without being premiere access, meaning you have to pay $30. So they're kind of like saying, hey man, how come our movies don't deserve $30 worth of extra money? But there haven't been developments on that. Today it was announced that Sylvester Stallone is working on a Rocky prequel series set in the 1960s, and apparently it's going to be about Rocky Balboa seeing Apollo Creed fight for the first time, which inspires him to become a boxer. The Suicide Squad trailer dropped over the weekend, and I gotta say, it looked amazing, and for me, at least, King Shark looks like a really, really dope character, who's also going to be voiced by, previously mentioned, Sylvester Stallone. Pierce Brosnan has been cast as Dr. Fate in the Black Adam movie, and personal opinion, I think he is going to be the perfect cast.
Yeah, I thought that was going to be a great addition to that cast, so
right?
I'm excited for that movie.
Yeah.
What movie has he been in lately? Has he done a lot of?
Lately?
So he's known as, you know, did James Bond,
obviously. He was my James Bond for the longest time.
You're James Bond.
Because that's how I got into James Bond movies, through him.
Those 90 ones.
I think the latest one I can recall is like Mamma Mia 2. Here we go again. I think he was in another comedy movie not too long ago. But yeah, no, he hasn't been very much in the spotlight. But talking about great castings that happened, Russell Crowe has been included into the Thor Love and Thunder cast on an undisclosed role. Personally, I believe he will be playing Beta Ray Bill, who was slightly teased in Thor Ragnarok. But some people are saying he's going to be a future version of Thor. So we'll see. I mean, it makes sense. He's Australian, just like Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. He's a really dope actor. So, I hope the rumors are true and that he's just not hanging out on set just because.
Yeah.
And lastly, there's going to be a new Transformers movie who is separate from the Michael Bay Transformers, I guess, quadrilogy or quintrilogy, and the Bumblebee movie. It's a standalone movie that didn't reveal any plot or who the characters are going to be. And that's your movie news for the week. That was quite a bit of news. I actually thought we didn't have that many. Now, we're going to get into the greatest castings of all time. The movies that we're doing, they're all fair game. Not just Marvel and Star Wars, but like any other movie. And like I said before, voice castings and motion capture, we'll save this for a later episode. So, Michael, do you want to start us off on your list?
Trying to think where we want to begin. I guess since we mostly do like Marvel movies, Mm-hmm. Let's just get those out of the way. Are pretty obvious ones, obviously. All right. I think the first one, even when you mentioned us doing this podcast, it's one of the first ones we mentioned was Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man.
Well, actually, when I pitched the idea, you said so, like, for Iron Man, Tony Stark.
Yeah. And then I said, yeah, Tony Stark is Iron Man.
And then I was looking at you confused, and then you were, like, getting a little peeved. You were like, dude, Tony Stark as Iron Man.
I was like, come on, dude.
It was perfect. And I'm like,
once you said it slowly to me, then it started clicking.
You're like, oh, right. So, yeah, Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man. Obviously, the MCU would not be here if it wasn't for him.
Mm-hmm.
Open the MCU to just, you know, I guess have real stories, but also have comedy in them.
Yeah.
Because if you watch any documentary about the first Iron Man ever, mm-hmm. the movie was not meant to have any comedy in it at all. And then he was like, that's making it a little bit funny.
Well, it's like, because Jon Favreau, Robert Downey Jr., and Jeff Bridges, they basically, a lot of times on set, would just write the script that day.
Yeah.
They're just like, there's not a whole lot we got here. Let's just, you know, just start saying stuff. And if we like it, you know, do that. But, but obviously, when he was originally cast, a lot of people weren't very happy about it.
Yeah.
Just because of what he had been going through up until that point. But, obviously, it was a big gamble for Marvel, and then it paid off.
It's the biggest comeback of the century, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, how many movies did that guy make? Like, 8?
Yeah, it's quite a few. Well, the 3 Iron Man.
3 Iron Man. 4 Avengers.
4 Avengers. And Civil War. So he got 9?
Dang.
I mean, then he was in Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah, Homecoming.
So 10.
Yeah.
Might be missing... He's in, technically, Hulk at the very end, but that doesn't really count.
Oh, that's true. The Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
Forgot about that. But yeah, iconic. We can't picture anybody else on that role.
Everywhere I look,
I see his face. got a proper send-off.
Yeah.
But the reason he got that proper send-off was because Marvel Studios got inspired by another amazing send-off because of the iconic casting of this character, mm-hmm. Hugh Jackman as Wolverine.
Yeah, he was second. I think that was the original person you had pitched when you were talking about this. So, yeah, obviously, Hugh Jackman was Wolverine from, I think, when was it 2000 when that movie came out?
Yeah, 2000.
It was one of those original, like, Marvel Studios movies.
That was the first of. That was even before the Spider-Man movie.
Spider-Man and Fantastic Four. Like, that era was like that. Where special effects was getting more popular and stuff. But they're still thinking, oh, this is for comic book fans. And not like we're not making it to, like...
impress anybody else.
Yeah, like the general population that's going to like it. So there's, like, some... It's, like, got the cheesy special effects at times. And
I don't think the first X-Men movie aged well at all.
No, I rewatched it. It's kind of weird. But.
Yeah, but the ones after, like, X2, that one aged quite well, actually.
I like that one.
And the rest of them. He appeared on every single one except Dark Phoenix.
Because
even in Apocalypse, he had a little cameo.
Really? I'm trying to remember.
It was...
Yeah,
they were, like, in that weird base.
He's in Stryker's base.
Yeah,
and then he
escapes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually a pretty big scene for him.
Yeah, because even in First Class, he also had a cameo.
Yeah, when he's in the bar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, he appeared on pretty much every X-Men movie.
Except Dark Phoenix.
Yeah, he had the hair. The only downfall is that we never got to see him in the yellow costume. Yeah.
They teased it, though.
They teased it, but that's a deleted scene, which hurts even more.
Oh, yeah.
That one's painful, but Logan, that might have to be my favorite comic book film.
Yeah.
Ever. All of them. Doesn't matter. DC, Marvel, Fox, whatever. Logan, I love Logan. I don't know. He smoked cigars just like the character. He was very, like, serious, but could give, like, the little smirk when he needed to. I don't care that he was taller than the actual Wolverine is in the comics.
No.
I don't care. He...
If they were going to do it by the comics, it'd been like Danny DeVito size.
Danny DeVito. Oh!
Yeah, as Wolverine.
Would you like this egg?
Yeah. probably crazy.
Yeah. So Hugh Jackman, definitely up there.
So I have another one, since we're on the Marvel one. I mean, so I was kind of going through Marvel. Obviously, there's a lot of like great castings for the movies, and I think it's, considering how many characters are all pretty much all, and they've pretty much nailed.
Yeah.
But I think this is an early one, and like kind of side minor character, but just it's hard to picture anyone else as this character, and it's J.K. Simmons.
As J. Jonah Jameson?
Yeah.
Dude, I have him written down.
I know you did.
It's oh my gosh.
It was so good, they literally brought him over to their new like universe, basically.
Yeah. They're like, Marvel will be like, who do we cast as J. Jonah Jameson? There has to be somebody in that room that said, you already know who to cast.
It's like there's no one else we can cast.
Yeah, he's just,
yeah. Watch the original Spider-Man. He just steals the scene every time.
Yeah, honestly. Doesn't matter who is in that room. There was plenty of people in that room.
Yeah. He's just got some great lines, too, and just, yeah.
He's a menace!
Yeah.
And he's like, what should we call him? Doc Ock? No. How about Doc Ock? But that's what I just said. I don't pay you say things. Come on. I don't know. Yeah, he just...
His voice and
his voice. His mannerisms.
Yeah.
Like, deep down, you knew he was a good guy.
Yeah. He was.
Yeah.
He saved... He helped... He didn't give up Peter Parker in that first one.
Yeah.
So.
He's...
It's just such a good casting.
Yeah.
We don't need to say anything else.
We don't seem to say anything else. If you've seen the movies, you know. If you haven't seen them, then you're dumb. Go watch him. I think I have another Marvel one.
Okay.
I don't know how to say this name, so I'm going to try the best that I can.
Oh.
Yuen Gruford. He is Mr. Fantastic in the original Fox Fantastic Four movies.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
I loved his Mr. Fantastic.
He is really good. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see when they, like, obviously they're going to recast him.
Yeah.
To see if, like, compare the two, I guess.
Yeah. It's just in the, because I grew up watching the animated series every morning. Yeah. And
he's got the look for sure.
Yeah. I have a few of the comics. He looks just like him.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with the little white hair. And I guess what I like is that they never take his scientific mind away.
Mm-hmm.
In the movies. But then when he needs to, like, get into action, he's not afraid to, like...
Yeah.
He literally rolls and, like, becomes huge against Victor Von Doom.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Yeah. I'm trying to... Who played him in the newest one?
Miles Teller.
Yeah. Who's a great actor.
Yeah, he's a...
But I never, like... I guess... I never bought into it, you know?
Yeah, no. I was never like, that's Reed Richards.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, so. I get it. There were younger cast and stuff, but... No, it was just like him running away from the government type of thing.
Yeah.
No, I feel like I don't know. That didn't feel very Richards to me.
No. All right, I like it.
Do you have any more Marvel movies?
I kind of wrote one just because he's played such an iconic villain for so long, is Tom Hiddleston as Loki.
Ooh, that's a good one. I didn't even think of that one.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine a villain so iconic that he's getting his own Disney Plus
TV show. Yeah, they killed him off and they're still giving him a TV show.
Yeah. That was like, they killed him for real.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, we gotta bring him back.
Yeah. So I was thinking of all the, like, Marvel villains. I was like, Thanos is probably, like, second, maybe. Just because I just think Josh Brolin killed it.
Yeah.
But yeah, Tom Hiddleston is, he is Loki.
Yeah.
Like, when you see him now, you're just, that's Loki.
That's Loki. Anywhere I go.
Yeah.
Like, if I picture, like, an animated series, I already, like, want his face to be in it or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, anything else will bother me now.
Yeah. I feel like that's kind of like, that's kind of like the Robert Downey Jr. dream with Iron Man. Because I feel like now with any, like,
like, video game adaptation.
Yeah, it's got more Robert Downey Jr. features or, like, mannerisms, I guess.
Yeah.
So.
It's just, they became the characters so well.
Yeah, exactly.
I think one of the things that made me love Loki is that he would wear his actual Loki helmet.
Yeah.
And I don't know. when you wear comic accurate costumes, it just really helps.
Yeah.
Makes you love the character even more. Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a good one. I didn't even write that one on my list.
You have any other Marvels? Or?
I don't have Marvel, but I do have superheroes.
Okay.
So...
Like DC?
DC, and not some that are not necessarily DC.
Okay. I think I just wrote down one DC person.
So for my DC... Actually, let's go with yours, because I just lost.
Okay. Mine... I guess I have two people, but it's for the same character.
Okay.
The character I'm thinking is Joker.
Okay.
I think we've had two actors play their that character super well in their movie that like no one else could have done any better. Like Heath Ledger in The Dark Knight, I don't think Joaquin Phoenix could have
done the Heath done Ledger, and I don't think Heath Ledger could have done
the Joaquin Phoenix.
Right.
They're both like, yeah, it's just iconic. Obviously. I mean, both won Oscars, right?
Yeah.
For their parts, so...
Which is one of the few, if not the only ones.
I think it's the only, like, superhero character...
Yeah.
...like, part to be nominated in. I don't know if nominated, but I mean, like, actually win it all.
I think for main actor, Joaquin Phoenix is that definitely the only one. But I think supporting actor, I think there's another one...
Okay.
...who was nominated. I think it's for one of those 80s movies...
Gotcha.
I can't think of who it is. But, yeah, fantastic. I mean, it kind of makes you think, right? If Jared Leto got his chance, will he become iconic too?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously we got a glimpse of it in the Snyder Cut.
I thought it was great.
I thought it was fantastic. I can't stop watching that scene.
Yeah, it is a good scene.
But yeah, Heath Ledger, I mean, just, he took over that character.
Yeah. And another one of those where people were, like, unsure about it when he was first cast.
Yeah.
They're like... This guy is not the Joker, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And obviously, he had Jack Nicholson to kind of look up to.
Yeah.
Who previously played the part.
Fantastic also.
Yeah. Joker's one of those characters where it's like, you can have... He has so many, like, iterations of himself.
Yeah, like, even in the animated TV shows and movies, there's, like, Jokers with, like, super long hair, and then Jokers with, like, the slick back, and... Jokers with, like, red eyes, too. Yeah. It's like...
Well, there's, like, the more cartoony ones, and there's the more there's, like, absolutely, like, maniacs, basically.
Yeah.
I was... The Killing Joke, obviously, like, that's one of the darker versions of the Joker.
That one's creepy.
Yeah.
The Dark Knight Returns. He's kind of, like, a little more buff, but he, like, literally has, like, a batarang to his face, and then he cracked his neck. So Joker is a huge character that I feel like anybody can take over and make it their own. Yeah. But I completely agree. That you couldn't swap those actors and have the same result.
Yeah. Like, we've seen... Like, for a while, we had a pretty good track record of Joker up until Jared Leto's, like, first iteration of him.
Yeah.
And I think that's more of, like, the direction the directors or, like, the producers wanted for him. Because I think they wanted to be different from... Heath Ledger's and Joaquin Phoenix's. And
which, it kind of makes me glad that he failed, because then that means that it's the actors that make the character great, too. Mm-hmm. And not just that, it's a great character, so everybody can succeed, type of thing.
Yeah.
Kind of like Pixar. Everybody thought Pixar films could not fail
until
Cars 2 happened.
Until they happened.
So I'm glad that, you know, there was a thing that said, hey, yeah, Joker is a fantastic character, but people can fail at him.
You need the right casting, obviously.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good one. Mine's a little, maybe people won't know about it, but I know you do. Matthew Good as Ozymandias in Watchmen.
Yeah.
You gotta freaking love that dude. I love watching a movie just to see him.
Yeah.
It's like, do you think of me as a comic book villain that I'm just gonna reveal my plan with any chance of you to stop it? No, this happened like 15 minutes ago.
Yeah.
And he's blowing up the world.
Yeah. That movie is such a... I just think, like, the whole cast is so... Like, so, it's so good. Like, I was thinking of the comedian.
Yeah. Oh, I was gonna... When I started writing down, I was like... I started thinking Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah.
And then Chris Goober, I think his name is, which plays the Flash's dad in the Snyder Cut.
Yeah.
And then I thought, oh, yeah. But then I started thinking, like, Patrick Wilson as Night Owl.
Yeah.
And it's just... And then... I forget the actor's name, but Rorschach.
Mm-hmm.
Frick.
Yeah.
It was just an amazing casting overall, but I was like, I gotta narrow it down to one.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, which character I love. And it's Ozymandias. I guess just because he's the villain, and I guess you love villains some.
Mm-hmm. When a villain is really good, you just love him.
Yeah. But, I almost wrote down Rorschach, though, because shout outs.
No, that is a good casting. I love that movie.
Yeah, right?
I know you say you've always watched the 4-hour part.
Yeah.
I'll have to do that at some point.
Yeah, that movie, I mean, not that the short versions of that movie are bad,
mm-hmm.
but once you watch the 4-hour cut,
it makes you get those extra scenes.
Huge difference. Yeah. Like, the comedian, you said you like him.
Mm-hmm.
There's way more of the comedian in.
I think I've seen a lot of the extra scenes, like, online and stuff, just, like, not with it all put together, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when you watch the Snyder Cut.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are like, yeah, this movie could be shorter, but... Would you want to see
a
shorter movie? Not really. Because you already know there's more that affects the story and the characters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, if you haven't seen The Watchmen, go check it out. And then I have another hero, which is neither... I guess it might be DC, because I think DC bought it. But Ron Perlman as Hellboy.
Okay. I think it's... I haven't seen those movies, but I think he's got, like, the look. Like, he's got... Like, that... He is Hellboy, basically.
He's got the voice.
Or, like, Hellboy is now him.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Like, he's got the voice, and he never had to, like, affect it. Like, that was his natural voice.
Yeah.
He smokes big, fat cigars, and, mm-hmm. you know, he's kind of, like, chill about everything.
I think it's just his face.
Yeah.
Like, he's got the big face for it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Everything you see now,
mm-hmm.
just like Robert Downey Jr., you know,
yeah.
every Hellboy thing just kind of looks like him.
Yeah.
Like, think of Ron Perlman is a little... He's not fat, because he was, like, in amazing shape.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, Hellboy is... in the comics and stuff, he's more, like, super skinny. But this guy was, like, freaking buff.
Yeah. Because I feel like now if I see, like, drawings of him, he is, like, really big now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I honestly can't picture Hellboy as skinny.
Exactly. Nobody can anymore.
Yeah.
it's fantastic. I love those movies. I did not really particularly like the reboot that happened a few years ago.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people didn't.
It had some good stuff about it.
Wasn't it with him also?
No, that one was with the...
Oh, the guy from Stranger Things.
The guy from Stranger Things, yeah.
It's not a bad... I think when I saw it, I was like, that is a pretty good casting.
Yeah, but the
thing is... You get as close as you can to...
Yeah.
Not for one, but...
It wasn't bad. It had, like, him being Hellboy.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty good. Except that he was more a little...
Yeah.
More of a goofball type of thing.
Sure.
And then... That movie had really good horror elements that Hellboy has.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
But besides that, literally you could notice it from mm-hmm. a mile away. The arm. You know, Hellboy's, like, big arm.
Sure.
They would change it for no reason to the other arm in the middle of, like, fight scenes.
Oh. To work with the fight, I guess.
And the special effects in the movie are absolute trash.
Yeah.
But... The previous Hellboys with Ron Perlman, they focused on practical effects
because
Guillermo del Toro did them, so they age perfectly, look beautiful.
I don't know if you know this about the reboot.
Yeah,
but it's a tight ad.
If you didn't get that joke, go fuck yourself.
Damn, dude.
That would be hilarious. Was it?
Remember the actor that was in that movie?
The credit scene.
Yeah.
It's a tie-dye.
It was a tie-dye.
It was never a movie.
I think that's I think that's what they should rebrand it now as.
Hellboy is just
tie-dye. Well, like the DVD release, it should have like the thing at the end. It should just be him just saying, it was a tie-dye. Like, he's like,
why do you think this dress code is so...
The scene. Like, I was just perfectly clean the entire time.
Yeah. Do you notice this fight? Yeah, it was real cool. Notice how not a drop of dirt was on me. It's a tight end. I think that's it for me on technically superheroes.
Yeah, I think I got all the superheroes down.
I got one that is kind of like a superhero, like because he has comics.
Sure.
And not really comics. He's graphic novels.
Yeah.
But Michael Cera as Scott Pilgrim. I don't know if you've ever seen Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
I think I've seen parts of it. I don't think it's not like my type of movie, I guess. I don't think I watched it all, but I think I saw it on TV one time.
I freaking love that movie. Mm-hmm. And I can't watch that movie without thinking anybody else could be Michael Cera.
You mean Scott Pilgrim?
Yeah.
I mean, Michael Cera.
Yeah, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It's freaking fantastic. Like, he has that, like, perfect dorkiness.
Yeah.
The way he talks really fast. And when it comes time to, like, fight.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm gonna freaking do this. Mm-hmm. But, like,
it's... Michael Cera's, like... Yeah. He's become a certain type of character, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he always plays the same type of character.
But this one was just, like...
Yeah.
Play to his strengths.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's just because who the character is. It didn't really have to, like, change for him.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. I love that movie. And that's the only reason, like, Michael Cera is relevant to me. Mm-hmm. Because I've seen Arrested Development. I think it's okay.
He's great in that.
Like, the first seasons are great.
Yeah.
But, like, for me, when I think Michael Cera, I think Scott Pilgrim versus the World. That's...
I think of him as... I guess, kind of... Put them all together, the rest of L, and then Superbad, obviously.
Oh, Superbad, yeah.
Yep. But since you kind of mentioned Michael Cera, I didn't write this down, but I was thinking someone who plays the same type of character a lot is Jesse Eisenberg.
Yeah.
In The Social Network, I think is a pretty perfect casting.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't think anyone else could have nailed, what's his name?
Mark Zuckerberg. I think the movie is a 10 out of 10.
Oh, it's a great
movie. I think that movie's a masterpiece. You can watch it 1,000 times.
I had to watch it for a class, actually.
Really? You make you watch it for a class?
Yeah. It was for... I don't know. It was... I can't remember the class, but it was a computer science class. And I think that it was just like one of those days where it was just like... it was going to be a break.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, yeah, just watch the movie and then write a little bit about it, what you liked, and then kind of like analyze like what elements are, like, I guess, exaggerated.
Right.
So...
But yeah, no.
That was a great movie.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Like, Andrew Garfield.
Also good.
Even I think that might be the best performance by Justin Timberlake.
Oh, easy.
It's the writing, David Fincher, man.
Mm-hmm.
He directed it. He's just such a perfect movie. I can't find a flaw. I watch that movie like 3 times a year because I just enjoy watching it. It feels new to me every time.
Yeah.
Like, that first scene where he just gets really drunk, and he's just, like, saying, okay, well, I need to deviate from this security thing. Yeah. Yeah. That's a really good one.
Yeah. It is a good movie.
J.C. Eisenberg. It's kind of weird, because after that, he, like, never did something as iconic again.
J.C. Eisenberg?
Yeah.
Yeah. You'd think he would be able to get more, I guess, more parts, but obviously he did Lex Luthor as... Batman versus Superman.
Yeah.
Which isn't, like, I don't mind it, I guess.
Yeah, a lot of people gave it a lot of hate. But I guess for me, Lex Luthor, I have a vision of Lex Luthor. Mm-hmm. And he's more cool, calm, collected.
Yeah.
And he played J.C. Eisenberg playing Lex Luthor.
Yeah, J.C. Eisenberg, he's kind of got, like, that, like, nervousness.
Yeah, like, jiggly, just...
Yeah. So,
He had really good lines.
Yeah.
Like lines like, if man won't kill God, the devil would do it.
Mm-hmm.
But the way he delivers it, just, it didn't...
It's always kind of quiet.
Yeah, and then...
If man can't kill God, the devil will do it.
Yeah. Something like that. TikTok, whoop, that must be the maker.
But, because who played it in the, like, the 2007 Superman Returns, I think?
Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, Kevin Spacey.
That was great. That was a great Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
He was just evil all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But, same back, cool comic collects, like, I forget who Elizabeth Banks played, but you know, like the girlfriend or whatever.
Sure.
She's like, Lex, you cut my brakes! And he's just like, well, we needed to make it look real. That's it for my superheroes.
The soups are done.
Yeah, I think after that, it's like actual movies.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like I was trying to get into more movies, but I started with more like, movies that are like Harry Potter and like I have a Lord of the Rings one, but I guess for Harry Potter I was thinking Alan Rickman as Snape.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
rest in peace.
Yep. Like, I can't, like, let's say they were like, oh, let's reboot Harry Potter, in like.
You gotta include Snape.
That's what I'm saying. It's like. Like, obviously, like, the kids, it's like. Those are like the three original, and like, they're great. But like, I could see other people playing them, you know?
Yeah.
And like, most of, maybe some of the other professors, but I was like, I don't recommend just like. He like became Snape, and Snape is him.
His line deliveries were so excellent. Yeah. Mr. Potter?
Yeah.
Where are you going?
Yeah.
To go.
Yeah.
It's just the timing was so great, and
like anyone who, if they did that, like if you're gonna play that, like I don't know if you're gonna be able to like do something different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because most people be like, well,
that's not, all you have in your head.
Yeah. Because everyone's like, well, that's not Snape.
Yeah.
So,
he made the plot twist like so believable, mm-hmm. and
yeah,
you know,
I think as like the movies go, like the first, I think like the first one, it seems a little more kiddish at times.
Yeah,
but obviously as it matures, his character gets better and better as you like delve more deep into his like his motivations and stuff. And
well,
once you get like the full picture, you're just like, wow, that was.
Well, that's the thing. Once you see, like, all the movies, and then you go back, and you focus on Snape every time he's on screen, everything changes for you. Mm-hmm. Like, because he knew what was going
to
happen.
Yeah, I was about to mention that. That like, when the first movie, even though, like, she hadn't even, like, I think she was on the fourth book or something, or third, hadn't even, like, finished, but she knew the basic plot was going to be, and she basically told them, like, this is your entire character.
Yeah. So you can see him acting that way in the movies. Like, he knows when there's need to be, like, internal conflict of, like, yelling at Harry or something like that. It's,
Yeah, what drives his hatred and...
Yeah.
But why he's doing all this for Harry, basically. But it's beautiful.
And if you don't think that's good acting, and if you think that's just Alan Rickman, watch any other Alan Rickman film and you'll see, like, how much time and effort he actually put into that character. It's fantastic. I do have a Harry Potter character as well here.
Mm-hmm.
Where is he? I hope I say this right. Man, I picked the people with the weirdest names. Robbie Coltrane as Rubius Hagrid.
I had him too, if I'm being honest.
My guy. Makes me cry every time on Chamber of Secrets when Hagrid comes back into the huge dining hall.
Uh-huh.
And everybody just starts clapping for him, and he looks like he's gonna cry. That's
like one of those scenes where, like, it's not part of the, like, it's not part of the book, but like to me, I'm like, that scene was just so beautiful.
Yeah.
Though, going to Harry Potter endings, most of them are like pretty heartfelt, you know.
Yeah.
Like the first one, kind of makes me sad too, because Hagrid gives him like the book of like his friends and his family.
Yeah.
And he's got to like say goodbye to Hagrid.
And it's like.
And it gets me.
It's like, it's time to go home.
Yeah.
No. I'm not going home.
Yeah. Exactly.
Or like, this is my home. Or something like that.
And then the second one, obviously, you got the Great Hall of Hagrid. And then like 4, 5, 6, it's always like. Basically, like, we have something worth fighting for.
Yeah.
Like friends, family, basically. And then like the third one, it makes no sense. The ending is just so out of place. Like, that movie is really good all the way through up until the end, and it's basically like Harry gets a broom
and then he just flies into the screen.
A weird freeze frame, and his face is like, just, it's just a very weird ending.
It didn't feel like a to be continued. It just felt like somehow they lost the last page of a script.
Yeah. Well, it's like a weird. Yeah, because, like, every movie after that is basically like, oh, we know what's at stake moving forward, but we're still optimistic because we have each other, basically.
Yeah.
But that one ended with just like, oh.
I got a new broom.
I got a new sick broom. I'm happy. Like, the guy who I thought was going to murder me is my godfather. I love him.
I love him, yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't think, maybe, like, they didn't know how to wrap that all up together. And just like, let's just shoot him into the screen.
Yeah, but yeah.
Robbie as Hagrid, like, he kills it.
Like, it makes me want to hug the guy, you know? Every time you see
him. For sure, every time he gives a hug to, like, Harry. Like,
I'm like, I want to be that guy. I want that hug.
Yeah.
Like, when he carries Harry after the Battle of Hogwarts.
Yeah.
And just...
I wish they had a little more Hagrid moment in, like, the ending. I don't know.
Yeah, because I remember the last time we watched it, I'm like, he literally just gives Harry, he just says, Harry, gives him a little hug. It's literally little. It doesn't even last, like, 2 seconds. And then he walks away.
I know.
And you see him walking away while Harry keeps, like, talking to, like, Hermione or something.
I think, like, Ron and Hermione show up.
Yeah.
And they're, like, holding hands. But I'm like, why doesn't Hagrid, like, why don't you give a big hug to all three of them?
Yeah, no. Hagrid just walks away, and then they're talking. You see him off frame, just keeps walking away.
Yeah, it was weird. And Hagrid is, like, Harry's, like, oldest friend, basically.
Yeah.
Because, like, that first scene of Hagrid, like, it's perfect.
You're with her, Harry.
Exactly. Iconic.
Who hasn't quoted, even as a meme, even if you've never seen the movies.
You know that.
You know it. That line. Yeah.
So, yeah, great. I put down, so I wanted to put a couple for Harry Potter. This is my last one, is Maggie Smith as Professor McGonagall.
Yes. Oh my God, I didn't even think about it.
She just commands every scene, basically. She's just got that, like, stern authority, but also, like, that caring, like, nature that, you know, these are her students, you know.
Like, I will these are my kids. I will
protect them exactly. But also, like, I'm going to punish them when they do something bad.
It's like, how come when there's always trouble, you three are around?
Yeah, it's always you three.
It's like, I've been asking myself that same question. Yeah. And then she's, like, very sweet. It's like, Potter, you should know, he was very fond of you.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite stories in, like, movies, castings, is that Maggie Smith, she was going through chemotherapy in the last two movies.
Yeah.
And she still decided, no, I've got to do this for the fans.
Mm-hmm.
That's why she did movies, for the fans. There's pictures of her on set on an IV before shooting a scene, reading a Harry Potter newspaper. And it's just, like, this chick was risking her life to, you know, finish the movies for us.
Yeah.
Which is why they switched the scene of Harry versus Snape in the Hogwarts castle to McGonagall
and Snape. Yeah.
Which, happy welcome, perfectly deserved.
Yeah. I would, honestly, like, because it's not in, like, the book that, like, Snape duels anybody. But, like, if they did it with Harry, I just wouldn't have been, because Harry's going to lose.
Yeah.
100% of the time.
Yeah.
Like, Harry's not the smartest guy. He barely knows. He knows one spell. Snape is like, he invents spells.
Yeah. He's the Half-Blood Prince.
It was just like, Bowen McGonagall, like, it was perfect for that character, because it's like, you know, like you were saying, like, these are like her children. So when Snape brings her the wand, she's like, no. You know, pushes him away, and she's like, but then Snape's just like, oh, snap. Like,
yeah.
Exactly. Not,
yeah, so. It's like, the Slytherin's like, what are you doing? It's like, oh, you're right here on time.
Yeah.
Put your score, Slytherin. Where? The dungeons will do.
Yeah.
And I also love when she says, the spell's like, a la locomoto.
Yeah,
and then all those, like, statues come to life. And she's like, I always wanted to say that spell.
Yeah.
Very sweet moments with McGonagall.
Yeah. You have any other?
I don't have Harry Potter.
But I have two Lord of the Rings.
I have Ian McKellen as Gandalf.
Yeah.
Easy.
Of course. Easy.
I could watch those movies just to see his performance.
Oh, yeah.
It's fantastic. I mean, Ian McKellen, I think what works so well is that he's such a Shakespearean actor.
Mm-hmm.
So he is very, he, I guess, takes time doing every movement. Like, every movement, he thinks about it. Like, it's very conscious thing to do, like, maybe grabbing the staff and, like, holding it close to his face and talking.
Sure.
And it's just perfect casting.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put anybody else in that role. Like, I say that because I look at the posters
of Lord of the Rings.
All three Lord of the Rings.
I mean, the casting of those movies is very solid phenomenal. All around.
Yeah.
But the other one I was thinking is, like, I see. I don't know if you have any more to talk about Ian McKellen, but yeah, he's just...
And I was going to say, like, there's some great actors, but I would never...
So I think, like, the first, like, in, like, the Fellowship of the Ring, like, the first, like, good chunk of when they're, like, kind of trying to figure out... He's like, the driving force through that whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, he's just running around here and there, and the Hobbits are just, like,
Hey, just partying. Yeah.
Smoked some pipe weed and Gam was just like... just running everywhere trying to figure out what is going on here.
Pretty much.
So, and he just... Yeah, he nails it.
Yeah.
Because I know Christopher Lee, who ended up playing Saruman, I think I read this, that he, like, knew J.R.R. Tolkien. And, like, because he was a big fan of the books. And, like, I think, like, J.R.R. Tolkien said, like, he would be a good Gandalf.
Because
Christopher Lee wanted to play Gandalf. But he was, even during that time, he's pretty old. So, and they were like, and he's got the voice.
Yeah.
They're like, you're Saruman.
Yeah.
Like, the book is basically like, every time they talk about Saruman, they're like, watch out for his voice. When you think of someone's voice, it's just like, Christopher Lee is just... He's got a commanding voice.
Yeah. Also, very Shakespearean actor, so, like, yep. Everything, like, the way he talks.
They're both service.
Yeah, they are. So, it's just... They made for an amazing combo. Like, the scenes that they shared together...
Oh, yeah.
I don't think there's ever been a time where, like, I look at my phone or, like, get distracted. I'm, like, focused on the screen. I'm, like, I need to see this exchange of greatness happening.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah. I mean, great. That's a... great overall cast, but those are definitely like huge highlights of it.
Yeah cast is solid. I think the other one I really wanted to like focus on was Hugo Weaving as Elrond. I feel like obviously he's not a big part of the movie, but I'm like, every time I see Hugo Weaving, I'm like, Elrond.
That might be for you, but for me, and I almost wrote him down on my list, but I didn't.
You're gonna say for Mr. Smith?
Agent Smith. Matrix.
Yeah.
That's
both,
him for me.
Both those characters. Obviously, he has a bigger role in The Matrix.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Both those roles, he is those guys.
Yeah. I just love, for me, Hugo Weaving in The Matrix when he's talking to Morpheus. And he just takes off his, like, earpiece.
Yeah.
And just gives this, like, monologue of how much, like, he freaking hates The Matrix and... He's like, it's the smell. I freaking love that dialogue. But then, of course, he's super badass and punches the crap up. Like, the fight between him and Neo in the subway. I think it's one of my favorite battle scenes. Hand-to-hand combat of almost any movie.
Yeah. That first Matrix movie is just a masterpiece.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we'll get Matrix 4 next year, so.
Yeah.
And I think he said he might come back. But it was never confirmed. So I think they casted him.
Yeah.
And then they said, shh, be quiet.
It'll be a big surprise.
Yeah. I think it might be like on a flashback or like a scary virus or something.
Sure.
But yeah, Hugo Weaving. I mean, he's a great actor. He gave us lots and lots of things.
Yep.
Man, we might have to make this episode of more like pop culture castings. Because we're going a little far.
Yes.
So
let's... I have some pretty... How many more do I have? I have 1, 2, 3, 4.
I have 1, 2...
You have a lot.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Okay.
But I'm going to keep it to...
I'll do one more just because this is a pop culture one.
Okay, go for it.
I was thinking Johnny Depp as Jack Sparrow.
Perfect. You took one out of me.
There you go.
Totally imagines.
Nope. You can't put anybody
in. You can't spot. Put anybody else in the part.
No one can do it.
Fun fact. Freaking. What the heck's that sound?
That's the air conditioner.
Oh. freaking. Disney hated his Jack Sparrow.
Really?
Absolutely hated it. They said, you look drunk, which obviously he's a pirate. And it's like, they hated it, blah, blah, blah.
The walk, the way he talks and his hands.
They absolutely hated it. And they went ahead and they filmed it anyway. The entire thing.
Because they knew Johnny Depp was going to keep doing that.
Yeah. And boom, we got Captain Jack Sparrow.
Just iconic.
And the Black Pearl, that might be like his best
performance
as Jack Sparrow.
I think it's one of his best.
I mean, he got nominated for, I don't think it was an Oscar, I think it was a Golden Globe, but he did get nominated.
He deserved.
For
an Oscar for that.
It was...
I feel like Johnny Depp, he just...
He's a great actor overall.
Oh, yeah. I think there's, like, quite a few of those, like, iconic pop culture type of actors that, like, will never get an Oscar nomination. But yeah. They're, like... That doesn't make him any... Any less of an actor.
Like, he'll live in the hearts of
yeah.
fans and stuff.
But yeah, Jack Sparrow.
Jack Sparrow, fantastic. I mean, obviously they're rebooting Pirates of the Caribbean and with, they're doing two. They're doing like...
Margot Robbie.
They're doing like a semi-reboot.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're doing the female-led one, which is with Margot Robbie.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you know, they can never... But the thing that they're doing is like, they're moving on from Jack Sparrow because they know they can't replace him. You know, it's gonna be new pirate, new story, but they can't have another Jack Sparrow movie.
Yeah, I mean it's unfortunate that like the last couple have been kind of like eh.
Yeah,
but because it seemed like they were trying to get back the old game back together in the last one.
Yeah, they gave us a little glimpse of hope, and then they said,
"Yeah, we're done."
They said it's too late. Yeah,
didn't do as well as
we I kind of liked because I watched them. Around, I think, a year ago now, I think about it. I can't believe it's been that long. But when I watched him, I try to watch them all continuously.
Yeah.
In Stranger Tides, it's not as bad of a movie as I remember it to be.
Mm-hmm.
I think he played a great Jack Sparrow on that one, too.
Yeah.
Very,
I feel like...
Tricky type of thing.
Yeah. I feel like just in Stranger Tides, and, like, I guess in that... what was the new one? Dead Man Tells No Tales. Like, obviously, he's still Jack. But I just feel like the other characters didn't have as great as a, like, dynamic with him.
Yeah,
there's... Because, like, you got Will Turner, who's, like, you know, he's, like, a good boy, you know?
Yeah.
He wants to do everything for he can for Elizabeth. Like, that's his whole goal. I mean, you got Jack, who's just doing everything for himself.
Yeah.
And then you have Elizabeth, who's, like, you know, kind of is in his face a lot of the time to, like, you know, be a better person and all this and that. And but, yeah, I just think, like, that trio was just so solid. And once it kind of broke up, that's when it, like, obviously, like, he can still carry it, but it did lose some of the...
Yeah, like, him and Will Turner's son in the last one didn't...
No.
Like, they'll crack a few jokes together, but it didn't... It was like, it was not friendship jokes. Like, you just met this guy.
Yeah.
And it's sad because Dead Man Tells No Tales, I think it was his worst performance as Jack Sparrow.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad that he ended on, for me, a bad note.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But obviously, it's going to happen the more you play a character.
Yeah.
Sometimes you try to switch things up to, like, make it fresh for people.
Mm-hmm.
But.
It was a very interesting story because it was, like, it got to the point where I was having a hard time believing, like, I guess the age of Jack Sparrow, because he looked the same, basically, but, like, he's now with Will Turner's adult son.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There was one thing that, I mean, they made a character choice, which he has a scar on his chin, and he made it that every movie, the scar gets bigger.
Mm.
And at the end, for Dead Man Tells No Tales, for me, it's big enough that I notice it, and it gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm like, just take it off.
I don't think I've ever noticed that, actually. Yeah.
Cause you can, and the first one is like a little dot, and then the next one it keep getting bigger and bigger.
So, really?
Yeah.
That is kind of cool though.
That's a nice detail that he came up with. All right.
Do you have any other pop culture?
I got two, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
One might not be pop culture, but I guess falls into some of the category.
Yeah.
So we can. I'll just mention this one. We don't really need to talk about it very much.
Yeah.
Matthew Lillard as Shaggy in Scooby Doo.
All right.
The reason is, he went to play it in the two movies.
Yep.
And then for like almost 20 years after that, or like 15 years after that,
yeah,
he played Shaggy on every single TV show, video game,
mm-hmm.
like movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
He became Shaggy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like that's, yeah. And if you think of Shaggy, you think of that man's voice.
Yeah.
That became Shaggy. That's Matthew Lillard is Shaggy. And then when they cast a new Shaggy, Will Forte for the Scoop movie,
yeah,
everybody freaked out. They're like, how dare you not ask the actual guy? But of course, he got a little older, so it's kind of weird for him to keep playing the same part.
Yeah.
But he will always be Shaggy. And then one, this was like my last pop culture one, comes hand in hand. This is two people.
Yeah.
Michael J. Fox as Marty McFly and Christopher Lloyd as Doc Brown.
It's a great duo.
Fantastic.
And one of your favorite movies of all time.
My favorite movie of all time.
Yeah.
Back to the Future. Yeah. And you know it's the perfect casting when they had somebody else play Marty McFly. They even shot scenes. You can go and look them up on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, this is not working. And then he came back. He came in and boom, it happened. It's a fantastic movie. If there was a person in this world who had never seen a movie ever and they said, how do I get into movies?
Mm.
Back to the Future is the movie I show them. Because it's lighthearted enough, funny enough, mm-hmm. special effects still hold up. That's the movie I would show them. It's absolutely fantastic. Michael J. Fox, Marty McFly. I mean, he's the coolest cat in the street.
Yes, sir.
And they made that trilogy of movies just absolutely fantastic. And their relationship, they just fed off each other. Yeah. Just kind of like Christopher Lee and Ian McKellen. Just made each other better as they worked together.
I need to rewatch those at some point.
Because they're great. I think they're on Netflix usually.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess we still have more on the lists, but we're going to save those for another day. That way this episode doesn't go too long. So I guess this podcast would, at some point, not next week, we'll have a part two.
Yeah.
And then we'll
plan on it for sure.
We'll plan on it. And again, we'll also have another one where we do voice actors and then another one for motion capture. Because motion capture deserves to be shine upon. Cause,
we'll give it a shine.
Because Hollywood doesn't give motion capture any credit.
Yeah. There should be like an award for it.
Yeah, exactly. And there isn't.
I guess it's just maybe like not every year they have a motion capturing performance or like a great one. You know what I mean? So maybe it's like. Like, not every year there's, like, a Gollum-like performance, you know what I mean? So.
I guess, but.
It does deserve its shine.
But then I would make that case for animated movies, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you see the animated movies that get nominated.
Sure.
Two of them are, like, good.
Yeah.
But out of those two that are good, you already know the winner. Yeah. And then the rest are absolute trash.
Yeah. I guess
it'll be like Ice Age 5 versus freaking Tangled, you know?
Yeah.
It's like obviously
Tangled. I guess like if they made an award, I mean, now that I think about it, I feel like a lot of movies are starting to do more motion capturing. But obviously if you do create an award for it, then I feel like more people will be inclined to really go for it.
Yeah, pursue it, yeah.
So
And I would even include in that motion capture category. Not just motion capture, but also just people in costumes mm-hmm. and practical effects. Because there's plenty of those. So I would call it like creature performance award or something.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's it for the casting choices for the day.
Yep.
And like I said, we'll save the rest for another episode. For now, we're going to talk about Falcon and the Winter Soldier episode 2.
Yep.
Star
Spangled Man is what it was called, right?
Oh, I didn't see the name.
Well, I think that's what it's called.
I guess I can start off by saying I freaking love this show.
It is a great show.
I love Bucky, man. I can't get enough of Bucky Barnes.
Yeah.
I'm
glad we got them together now.
Yeah.
Like, I enjoyed like the first episode where each of them were doing their own thing, but it was very, like, there was like time where I was like, alright, come on, let's get through this. Like, we all know they're gonna team up eventually, but like, I'm glad now they're together.
I guess one of the best parts of the episode is that they did that at the early part of the episode. Mm-hmm. Like, they didn't make us wait or anything, so they didn't get like, ugh, just do it already. No, it was like 5 minutes in, it's boom. Yeah. But obviously, one of the highlights of the episode was John Walker as Captain America.
The world sees him for the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a...
They humanized the character very well.
Like, yeah, I was wondering... Obviously, we see him at the end of the first episode, and right away everyone was like, we hate this guy.
I hate this guy.
And then, the first couple scenes, they were Just showed him, like, you know, he is, you know, he was a soldier, kind of risked his life many occasions.
Oh, yeah, I love that part when they say, like, give us your resume. No, it's very modest. And they're like, no, you've done this, yeah, this, yeah, and this. And I'm like, I was thinking, like, Spider-Man 2, he's a hero.
Yeah. But, yeah, he's someone who never saw himself as getting this, and now he's got, he's like, I want to do the best I can kind of thing.
Yeah.
But then, obviously, we're more on the Falcon and Bucky side. We're just like, yo, don't do it.
It's like when he's like,
can't be the best.
I never met the guy, but he was like my brother. Yeah. And then you see Bucky just like,
yeah,
you son of a bitch.
Yeah.
The episode was really weird because at first, obviously, they, like I said, they humanized him, showing him he's, I guess, overall a good guy.
Yeah, he is a hero.
And he got given this opportunity, mm-hmm, and frankly, who would say no to be, yeah, Captain America?
He wasn't, yeah, he didn't steal it from Bucky, I mean,
Steve.
From Sam.
Yeah.
Obviously, Sam gave it away, but it wasn't like, he was like, oh, let me be Captain America. It was like, government was like, oh, we need a Captain America now.
And this guy obviously put in the word.
Yeah, we'll give it to this guy.
Yeah. And then, as the episode progresses, it looks like, yeah, he's actually looks like he just wants to be good and fight. Mm-hmm. He even says, hey, I know, Steve, I'm just trying to be the best and stuff.
Yeah.
And then they're kind of buying it, and of course Sam says the line. There's always that one last line.
Mm-hmm.
But then at the very end of the episode, it got twisted around when he said, stay out of my way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, excuse me?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, definitely. So, obviously we see Falcon Winter Soldier going after the Flag Smashers, basically. And find out very quickly that they're pretty outmatched because they're all super soldiers.
Yeah.
And it's like, what the heck? How are they super soldiers?
It's like, oh, it's been all these years. Yep. How the heck are you getting
this? And then, obviously, Captain America and his new partner show up, and it's like, obviously they didn't, you know, stop him or anything, but it probably could have gone pretty bad if they didn't. But then there's this scene where they're both walking down the road, and they're trying to, like, get them to, like, come in, like, the car, and then they're trying to talk to them. Like, I get, like, we were talking about it to, like, humanize him, because he is, like, he's, like, the best way we can defeat this threat is by working together. Like, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you want help, but obviously it's more personal for them, but
And then he freaking had to say, I need Captain America's wingman by my side. And Sam's like, you suck.
Yeah, yeah. But there is my favorite part of that scene was when John Walker's partner, when Bucky's like, who are you supposed to be? He's like, my name's Battlestar. And he's like, I'm out.
He's like, stop the car.
Yeah, he's like, I can't deal with these people. Just all these,
yeah,
all the gimmicks.
I was like, I was never given that name. Are you freaking kidding me? Yeah. I was just Bucky Barnes.
Yep. Because I saw, so I guess, because there's a line in Civil War when Sam and Bucky are being chased by Spider-Man.
Yeah, everybody's got a gimmick.
Yeah, exactly. So that was a pretty funny. He's just like, I'm done with all these people doing their thing. It's just like, what the heck?
Yeah. But, talking about Bucky, he had one of the biggest lines that for me, like, stuck. Mm-hmm. And was when Sam's like, what does this mean? Why do you care? What does this mean to you? It's like, well, Steve believed you. He gave you that shield for a reason.
Mm.
And Sam's like, so? And he's like, well, if he gave you that, and he was wrong, I mean, Steve was probably wrong about me.
Yeah.
Which, obviously, going back to Civil War and Winter Soldier, Civil War is all about Cap risking his life for Bucky.
Yeah,
exactly. Because he thinks Bucky is a good guy, worth saving, no matter what, no trading lives, you know, classic Captain America.
Yeah.
It was like, even him, even Bucky in the movie's like, Steve, I don't think this is all worth it.
Why are you doing this?
Yeah.
Like, let me go.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be okay. Like, don't risk your, you know, who you are for me.
So, obviously, after all that, and to think that Steve might be wrong, he's like, well, maybe I should have died at some point. Maybe all those people that got hurt along the way because of me, mm-hmm. maybe none of them was worth it.
Yeah.
So it was pretty, pretty heavy episode for Bucky. And it just, they gave us a little glimpse at what Sam has to go through now mm-hmm. to become Captain America.
Yeah.
Because they show us Isaiah, which, in case you guys don't know who Isaiah is, he was the original black Captain America mm-hmm. in the comics. In the comics, he wore Steve's suit, mm-hmm. like Captain America suit, but I think he had his own shield. Mm-hmm. And then that little kid that lived in his house,
yeah,
that's his gimmick. That's his little partner in crime.
Gotcha.
But it was fun to see.
It kind of looked like it was like a son or something.
Yeah.
So.
But it's fun to see Sam realize, like, oh, this mantle was already taking up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I guess kind of realize that he indeed can be it. Mm-hmm. That he can represent his culture.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, we got that police scene. Mm-hmm. It's like, did you know who he is? And then the cops, like, change all their perspective. Mm-hmm. Oh, Mr. Wilson, you know?
Yeah,
they go from, like, this guy bothering you to, oh, Mr. Wilson, we're so sorry.
Yeah, and then they arrest Bucky.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I thought the Isaiah scene was very interesting. Because I was... What time period did they say he was? Korean War or Vietnam or something like that?
Is that 55, I think?
Okay. So that's kind of like Cold War-ish.
Yeah.
Wish I had my history guy, but,
Evan sent
me. Yeah. But, I was thinking, because obviously he has super strength, right?
Uh-huh.
I was like, how did he get that? You know what I mean? Because I feel like they made it pretty clear in, like, the first Captain America was like, oh.
This is the one and only serum.
Yep, you are the only super soldier. And, like, isn't that, like, the whole
Hulk
situation? Yeah.
The entire Hulk thing is he was trying to create the super soldier serum using gamma radiation from the government, and that's why he became the Hulk.
Yeah.
Which is why the Hulk's so strong.
Yeah, it goes wrong, basically.
Yeah.
He becomes this monster, but then it was like...
But I was like, everybody
in the 50s, we did it again.
And then the Russians did it with Bucky and other people.
Yeah,
and now these soldiers and now these people now with the masks have it.
So a lot of super soldiers.
Bruce Banner would be like, "Yo, what the heck?
I could have been like these guys might have done that."
Yeah, so they need to explain that.
Yeah, maybe it's not like the superest serum that like Steve got.
That's true.
Maybe it's like it's a pretty super serum, but not like super serum.
So on a scale from 1 to super, he's just super.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Like, Steve got, like, the best you can get.
Yeah.
The best quality.
Be what you can be.
Yeah. And, like, Isaiah, they're like, all right, we got, like, half of it. You know what I mean? I don't know. Like, you know what I mean?
We got half of it.
Like, I don't want to diminish how, like, you know, important, like, that whole thing was, like, you're the only one.
Well, he, They did say that he was strong enough to beat Bucky. He cut off his arm.
Yeah, true. But is, like, Bucky as strong as Steve?
That's another good question. He's pretty strong.
Can Bucky curl a helicopter trying to get away?
Well, that's the thing, right? Because every time we mm-hmm. see him use that type of strength,
yeah.
he's always with a vibranium arm.
Yeah.
So it's like, we know that arm's strong.
Yeah.
But I would like to see
the rest of him.
I would like to see his punch with his other arm to see.
Whereas he's got the durability, like, and he's as fast as.
Oh yeah, he's freaking fast.
So goes. I love those scenes like in The Winter Soldier where they're like running down the street just.
Oh yeah.
Actually, no. That's
Civil War.
Civil War with Black Panther also.
Yeah, they're all running, and then at the beginning of the Battle of Wakanda, they start running like Steve and T'Challa.
Yeah.
And then freaking, and this one. It's like, Bucky's like, let's go, and he races after the trucks, while Sam has to fly, and he's just running, nonchalant. But yeah, that's a good question, like, is this, like, a lesser super serum?
Yeah.
Just enhances them a little bit?
Or some scale.
Yeah.
Like, if Steve's a 10, is Bucky, like, an 8? Is Isaiah, like, a, you know, a 9, or so?
Yeah.
Interesting. I don't know. I don't think they will do that, but...
No, but it would be nice to know.
Yeah.
Or like even like if a director or like Kevin Feige says it on the side,
sure,
and then just people that actually care get to know.
Yeah,
that would be fine.
I would care.
I would care. but yeah, absolutely agree.
What other things about this episode? I mean, you kind of seen the Flag Smashers, I guess. Don't know a whole lot about them, but they seem just like, obviously they're super strong. We don't know where they got us from, but they're kind of like
they. Normal in their eyes, people. Yeah, in their eyes, they look. They seem to be thinking they're doing the right thing.
They think they're like, you know, they're revolutionaries, basically. Like, we're doing, we're changing for the greater good, basically.
But it's weird. They keep talking. The way I feel about it, because the way they keep talking, is like maybe there was like this highly extremist group, and then they separated from that, and they're doing their own thing.
Yeah,
but it's technically like the same goal. That's how it feels, because they're like, oh, we must move out before they find out it's gone. They're mad, they're gonna kill us.
Has this group, I don't remember if they've killed anybody.
I don't think they have. No.
Yeah, because they
robbed a couple stuff.
They robbed stuff and they punched a cop and they punched Sam's friend.
Yeah,
but they didn't
kill him.
No. And then
and they could have easily done it.
And then, like, obviously with Bucky and all them.
And people support them, so they can be super bad.
So.
Because the guy was like, hey, we made you this room. You guys are getting supporters everywhere you go. We love you guys.
Yeah. But, because I know their whole thing is, like, oh, the government only cares about the people who were gone. Now they don't care about the people who have been here the whole time.
Which made perfect sense to me.
Yeah. Because, like, obviously we don't know a whole lot about what the world was like after the blip. This kind of sounds like governments were kind of like,
we're done.
Yeah, like, we need to work together to, like, save ourselves from basically, you know, going extinct.
Yeah.
And now it's like, alright, let's try to get back to normal. So, a lot of this, like, the programs and stuff that were helping probably people like them are gone. And it's more now focused on people that have been displaced.
Yeah.
So.
And they're just forgetting about them.
Yeah.
It's a great exploration of the world.
Yeah.
Because obviously it was 5 years, which is a long time for the blip. And obviously many people had many questions. Like, people still make memes of, like, what if you reappear on a plane?
Yeah.
Type of thing. So.
Yeah.
I'm glad they're exploring it, and I'm glad it doesn't become, like, too much where it gets tiring of hearing about it.
Sure.
Because I feel like maybe if they just went fully on it, it became very, I guess, political,
like,
and boring.
Yeah, because, like, the first glimpse we got of it was in Spider-Man, and it seemed like everything just went right back to normal.
Yeah, they're like, boom, it happened. That's it. Nothing.
We're going to worry on vacation. About.
Yeah.
It was
to Europe.
Like, yeah, it was basically like, oh, people that were younger now are older.
Yeah.
They're in different grades, and it's weird, but that's just how it is.
I guess that was the comedic side of it,
mm-hmm.
and now we're getting down to the real facts.
Yeah.
Which is what Captain America has been about, you know, like, in Winter Soldier, the government became corrupt because of Hydra.
Yep.
So, obviously, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, because they're from Captain America coming.
Exactly.
It's going through that route, which makes perfect sense for those characters.
Yep.
It's interesting for me that at the very end of the first episode, we saw John Walker step out and say hi. And on this one, we said, you're going to go see him? Yes, I'm going to go see Simo.
Mm-hmm.
So it feels like on every episode, it's going to end going to somebody cool.
Yeah.
So I can almost guarantee that next episode, it's going to be them going to, maybe not going to, but Sharon Carter, Agent 13 is going to show up.
Yeah.
I can almost call it. And then the next episode after that...
You're calling all of them?
Yeah. It's going to be like Isaiah dressed up as Captain America. He's going to show up.
That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope they explore more of his character.
Oh, yeah. He has to come back at some point. I think he's going to give Sam a talk of what it means to be Black Captain America.
Yeah.
And why he needs to be that symbol of hope.
Yeah.
Great show. It's a great show. I'm loving it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people who are like, I don't like it. Like, I'm enjoying it a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess I'm just sitting down and enjoying it and not theorizing much.
Yeah, exactly.
About it.
Like,
the theories that I'm making, it's just things that they were showing us.
Yeah.
And I'm not like
you're given the facts.
Yeah, exactly.
There's not a lot that you can just run with and be like, oh, this is what this means, or
I'm not gonna be like, this therapist, I guarantee you she like sees a Deadpool on the side. That's Deadpool's therapist. Yeah.
That'd be kinda cool.
But, hey man, don't start this thing.
Yeah. I guess we could talk about this when the whole series is over, but I'm thinking, because obviously this show is supposed to come before WandaVision.
It was originally, yeah. Yes.
So it'll be interesting to see once it's all done, like, if it helped that WandaVision game before, or would it have been better, you know what I mean?
That's a good question.
Because, actually, a lot of people loved WandaVision.
Yeah.
And now, like, to me, I feel like this one is seeming to be, like, I like it more.
Yeah.
So
I like it more, too.
My thought is, if this one came before WandaVision, maybe not a lot of people
would have
liked it, I guess.
Or stuck to it.
Yeah. So, I think it's going to work out pretty well. Because I'm thinking, because you got WandaVision, which is more of the, like, you know, magic and, like, supernatural side. This one's more of, like,
hand-to-hand combat.
Yeah.
Action.
You know.
Real world.
Yeah, and then Loki is kind of, it kind of reverts back to that, like, sorcerer. Yeah. So it's kind of like, it keeps...
Because we're back and forth.
Yeah. It's not like, oh, like, we're getting so much of...
And then, after that, the next live-action series is Hawkeye, which goes back to hand-to-hand combat. There you go.
So, it's working out pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm kind of glad WandaVision went first, now that you mentioned that. Because I feel like it would have gotten, like, what the heck is this show?
Yeah.
But obviously, WandaVision did great. I liked it, and it made me love the Wanda and Vision a lot.
Exactly. It did what it needed to do.
Yeah. And I'm glad they went.
And this one is more of a... So I feel like the Falcon and Bucky had already... We already knew them pretty well. So it's just, you know, just taking characters that we're already pretty fond of and just continuing their story.
Yeah, absolutely.
So...
Which... Curious, because I've said that I love Bucky Barnes. Who is your favorite between the two?
The two?
Yeah.
I don't know. They both got their... Like, I like Sam, how he's not, like... doesn't take everything very seriously at times. Which is kind of, you know, he's got the more comedic side and just more laid back. And obviously, Bucky's more of the, like, you know, he's usually pretty serious.
Yeah, he's like, what are you doing?
Yeah. I don't know. I'd say Falcon.
Falcon?
I do like him.
So, I'm the Winter Soldier too, Falcon?
Yeah. Makes sense.
Nice. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. That could be our next cosplay for Comic-Con.
Well, I don't... Yeah.
I get it. You... And I look like...
Yeah.
And then you look like...
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
That's all we're going to say about that. Anything else throughout to the season 2... Season 2, episode 2 of Falcon Winter Soldier.
You alright, dog?
Yeah. Just stepped on my toe.
Did I?
Yeah.
No way.
It's my toe. Of course I know when you step on my toe.
I'll believe you. But, no, I'm good.
Alright. You're so dumb. Alright, that's it for this week's episode of Getting Entertainment. Again, reminder, we have Getting Sports every Saturday. And... We also have merch. If you go to teespring.com/get-in-merch or the link down below, you can go get our hoodies or t-shirts or joggers. We have plenty of cool merch. And if you like this podcast, please tell your friends, tell your family, spread the word around. I want to give a huge thanks to our listeners that have been growing amazingly, not only here in the States, but across the world, especially our listeners in Germany. And
so Germany's popping off.
Germany is popping off.
Let's go.
And the UK and Ireland. So thank you very much to every listener for tuning in every week. Thank you for the support. And if you want more daily content on movies or entertainment type of stuff, go to my TikTok @BassReview. And that'll be it for today. This is Sebastian signing off.
It's Michael signing off.